b'torah of their friend. That arouses rachamim chemla and rachamim mehashamayim. And that's the pshat in the Haggadah. It says that the Rabbanim was sitting in Bnei Brak, five different Tanaim sitting in Bnei Brak together, Hayim Safrim, Bitsis and Tanaim, Kol Tavai, listening to each other to Bnei Torah, even though each one was Gadol, Echad, Mechavero, each one was greater than the next, and they were Masnias Atmam, to listen to the Bnei Torah of each other. That is the secret of the Gula. Ma'orim B'zechemla V'rach Me'Hashem. And that's the pshat, very beautifully, he says, Taro says, Lo Tosifun, but take Tevin. Lo Tosifun, but take Tevin. Tosifun is written with an Aleph. Tosifun with an Aleph. Should just say Tosifun without an Aleph. Don't give them any more Tevin, don't give them any more straw. What's Tosifun? Lashon Asifa. That Taro knew that the secret to the Geula is when the Jews gather together and share ideas together, share different doors together. That was the sod of the Geula, and that's why Karim Pesach is eaten by Chabura. We sit together on Pesach, we come together as Chaburas, large amounts of people coming together and sharing the secret of Mitzrayim, telling the Great Torah. That is part of the secret of the Geula. That's what we're sitting here together. That's what really is all about. Hearing Rebbeim, getting to hear each other, and you guys getting to hear this. It's a great opportunity, obviously, to really go into the Seder very well prepared. Hand it over to Eric.
Okay, so first up will be the only rabbi who brought his own cheering squad to this, Rabbi Goldschmidt.
Ha ha!
Yes, Eric!
That one's gonna be good.
Eric,
well said it.
What?
When does time start?
First word.
Following the format of the Haggadah that's set forth in the Sefer Yetzirah Mitzrayim, Derech She'ela V'Teshuva, this will be an interactive Dvar Torah. What is the point and the purpose of the Leil HaSeder? Anybody? The purpose of the Leil HaSeder, Derech She'ela V'Teshuva, okay? What's Derech She'ela V'Teshuva supposed to do for us?
Make us more aware of Hashem.
More aware of Hashem, very good. Develop a Muna.
Good definition, Rabbi.
Right. So what is this talking about? Secrets is supposed to lead to? God's will be, but what's it supposed to lead to? A greater awareness of Amuna, right? Does everybody here agree with that? That it's to develop our Amuna? Yerucham Levavitz writes in Das Chochma Musar that anybody who thinks the purpose of the Leil HaSeder is just to instill Amuna in ourselves is making a mistake. He's making a mistake. Why? He explains that if the purpose of the Leil HaSeder was to develop Amuna, so then why do you have to make it as if you're leaving Mitzrayim? If all you're supposed to do is develop this belief that Hashem exists and He's running the world, so then discuss the miracles. Why do you have to make it as if you're leaving? So he explains that it has to be both components. Number one, the first component is the Amunah has to be developed, and number two, it has to mean something to you. It has to develop your Amunah. Through the Amunah that you discuss and you describe, it has to lead you to a Kabbalah's Omah Kol Shemayim. Otherwise, you can just be a spectator and discuss the miracles. It has to do something to you. And therefore, the Divrei Torah that one should say, and the way a person approaches the Leil HaSeder should be in a way that he's trying to elevate himself. And Yirat Hashem, through this Divrei Torah that I'll give you now, we'll try to elevate ourselves, not only to develop the Emunah in Hashem, but also to develop the Kabbalah Tzol Malchus Shemayim. The Mishnah, in the second paragraph of Sachem, lists the five ideal vegetables for Maror. And number one is Chazeret. The question the Gemara raises is, why is Chazeret the preferred vegetable? Romaine lettuce. Why is it the ideal? The Gemara answer is because it replicates the Shibud of Mitzrayim. Does anybody here know how romaine lettuce replicates or duplicates the Shibud of Mitzrayim? Yes, Amen.
It starts out on the first part bitter, and then after that it gets...
Very good. It starts off sweet, and ends off bitter. The Gemara's language is, it starts off rock, it starts off soft, and it ends off difficult. That's exactly how the slavery started, because everybody knows the Medrash, that Paro started by paying triple wage to all the Jews. And he himself worked. Of course, if you ever want an employee to work well, work alongside him. And that's exactly what happened. And then Paro stopped working, and Paro stopped paying. And he said, listen, I see what you're capable of. When you're being paid three times the appropriate wage, this is how you work. I want you to accomplish the same amount. So that's why romaine lettuce, even though it doesn't look like it's bitter, when we know the Maxwell House Haggadah calls it bitter herbs, they're not really bitter herbs. It's only in the beginning it's sweet. In the end, after you chew it more and more, then it becomes bitter. Because that's exactly the replica of the way the Shibud started and also ended. And the Mussar Haskel of the Maror is, you can take with yourself, is that Averos and Taivos, very often they seem soft and easy and enjoyable and makok and sweet, but in the end of the day, so famar. In the end of it, it doesn't feel so bitter. A person says a juicy piece of lashon hara, he feels great. He feels like he put the next guy down, he made himself look good. But in the end, he feels that bitterness. That's what happens. Along the same lines of that medrash, that we started off in slavery, on top of the world with triple wage, and also alongside Paro, the Gra writes a very important idea in Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. Of course, we know the point of the night is the harbos. Anybody who expands upon the Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim is praiseworthy. So I want to use this Dvar Torah of Maror to expand a general concept in Yetzias Mitzrayim. Everybody here knows, and I'm sure people are bothered by this, Moshe Rabbeinu, when he went to Paro, he said, we have 3 days in the Midbar. 3 days in the Midbar. What is he trying to do? He's tricking us? We also know that the Jews, one of the reasons why the Jews asked for riches from the Mithraim was that in order that the Mithraim should chase them, and the Jews should see their downfall in the Yom Tov. So the Gra explained that the whole Yetzias Mitzrayim is one big Midas Neged Midah. The whole Shibud started how they tricked us into slavery. Okay, if we go back into history, we're the only people that didn't sell ourselves to Paro when we ran out of food. Okay? It's another Dvar Torah. But the point is that he tricked us into slavery. He tricked us when he killed our babies. Gemara Sota says that anybody, if a child was born a Zohar, the face would be down. Why did the midwives need to know that Simon? Because they killed him on the spot. And then they came to Paro, they said, oh, it was an accident. It was stillborn. So since the whole Shiva, since the Mitzrayim tricked us the whole time, Midah Kineged Midah, Kadosh Baruch Hu paid him back. We're only going for 3 days. Oh, come, look at this Kriyas Yom Tov. It's not a Yom Tov anymore, it's dry land. And our Kadosh Baruch Hu tricked them, we tricked them into chasing us, and we tricked them into jumping into the Yom Tov. And there, why is Midah Kineged Midah such an important part of Yetzias Mitzrayim? Because Midah Kineged Midah is so. There's no such thing as a coincidence. Everything has a consequence. And therefore, a person should know that not only does Hashem run the world, his actions do matter, and they have a cause and effect. L'tov, l'ra.
Not to be cholik on Rabbi Goldschmidt, but I'd like to maybe take up with what he first said. I don't know if it's so pushy that everybody agrees that the yesod of the Seder night is really about emuna. There's machlokas between Rabbi Shmuel. And Tachsachim on the halacha of Maschei Begnus in Taim Shvach. What does it mean Maschei Begnus in Taim Shvach? So Rav says, we start, the Gnus is Mitchila Obdi Avodah Zorah Hayim Avoseinu. Ve'achshav Kirvan Amokum Avodoso, that's the Shvach. And Shmuel says that the Maschei Begnus is Avadim Hayinu, and the Taim Shvach is the Gula. Fine. So what exactly is the nature of this machlokas? What is it that Rav and Shmuel are arguing about? Just a couple of horrors just to point out also that
the whole Shibud Torah.
Yeah. Okay, so I'm actually not gonna say that whole thing.
We'll give you some extra time.
I was going to give an ayin sham to the Gemara and Gittin, those who are living Gittin mamish the whole year, and they cannot separate their avodas Hashem of Pesach from the limud of Gemara of Gittin. So the Rav has a piece where he says the Rav and Shmuel are lishitasim from Machlokas and Lamaches about hamafkir avdo, that when you're mafkir your eved, is it that you are completely, that he goes completely free, like Shmuel says? Or is it that, when you're mafkir, you only give up the kinyan momon shabo, and the kinyan iser, that he's not allowed to marry batzchor and things like that, it still requires a get shichur in order to make that happen. So according to Rav, he still needs to get shichur, and that's the idea of mitzchil ovdi avodah zarah hayom aseinu, that there was still some sort of like aspect of avodah zarah, of shemet, of tuma that was within Bnei Yisrael until Kadosh Baruch Hu was mishachar them, brought them to Har Sinai and was mekadosh them. Whereas according to Shmuel, once they were set free, no, they were already immediately ovdei Hashem and not no longer ovdei Paro. Ayin Sham. It appears in Harei Kedem very nicely. Or you can ask Rabbi David. But I have my another approach, perhaps, that might be able to touch into the Machlokes of Rav and Shmuel. There's really, I think, Mephilas Proto Goldschmidt, to say perhaps there's two approaches as to what the point is of the night of Leil HaSeder. Is it that every individual is supposed to be mechazik himself in Amuna and recognize that Kadosh Baruch Hu takes care of me, he loves me, and he's involved in my life? Or is it more of a national kind of approach? Is it Pirsumei Nisa? And we're supposed to, it's a myth of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, similar to Megillah in a sense, similar to the Chanukah candles, when we're supposed to let the world know, in a sense, that there is a Kadosh Baruch in this world, he has an Ama Nifchar, and he takes care of us. And this is part, perhaps we can say that this is part of the focus. Rav said, Master of Gnus and Messiah Mishvach, we start with the Gnus that Mitchila Ode Vodazara Hayav Hasenu. We come from, you know, where they almost, you know, they came from humble beginnings. And so Kevano Makom Lavarasso. And when you focus in on this kind of individual approach, so you look at an individual, so we don't focus on Obdei Avodah Zarah, how you were saying it so long. If you think about it, it's all in the same paragraph. You say, okay, they were Obdei Avodah Zarah, Achshav Kivanu Makom Avodah Zarah. Story's over, right? Why is that? Because an individual working on his Emunah, working on his Kirat Hashem, so, okay, everybody makes mistakes, but you have to get over that Avera and get back into Avodah Hashem. So it's very quick. Whereas if it's Pursumi Nisa, if we're talking about a national status, the national Emunah, so then what happens? It's a whole long story, right? Avadim Ma'ino Farav in the time, we have all the drushes on the Sukkim and Shmos, etc., etc. And then finally, right, we say, Asher Galanu Galas Avoteinu. And this is Shmuel's approach, that the Masel Beginus is that we mentioned that we were Avadim Hayinu, because we're talking about the Amma Nifchar in general.
One minute,
okay. And this is, I think it's Mulchuch in the Lashonos as well, because Rav says that the idea of the individual working on himself is that Chayv Kol Adam Liros Asasma Kilu Hu Yasa Mitzrayim. So that's the individual working on himself. And then then Shmuel says, no, it's a nationalistic thing, and that's why Afilu Kulanu Chachamim, Kulanu Nivon, Kulanu Yodah Nesat Torah. It doesn't matter what the individual is. The point is that there's a mitzvah for Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim for the nation. And what do we do in the end? In the end, we mention both. But what is it? Is that we have the arichus of the Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. Within it is the small paragraph of Mitzchila Avodah Zarah Hayu Avoteinu. Because the point is that every individual has to find himself his place within the nation in general, and he makes his own personal chizuk and emunah and his own personal growth in Avodas Hashem within the Pirsum Anes, within the Klaliyistik Kiddush Shem Shemayim, which is part of being the Amma Nifchar.
Next is Rabbi Lubarsky.
As Rabbi Green already pointed out, there's a machlokas in the Gemara about the prominent feature in the Haggadah of Masilim Begnos and Masayim B'Shevach, that somehow we have to begin with lowly beginnings of the Jewish people and then continue on and speak about the Shevach of Klal Yisrael. The machlokas is between Rav and Shmuel, is it, we should be talking about Avodah Hayinu or Parag Mitzrayim, the fact that we were slaves, or is it that we should be speaking about the fact that our Avos were Mitzchila Ovdei Avodah Zarah Yovaseinu? I would like to suggest that this machlokas between Rav and Shmuel, which by the way both approaches, as we all know, have been incorporated into the Haggadah, represent two fundamental messages, two fundamental yesodas in the Haggadah, specifically in the Chelek of Magid, and if you follow through, you'll see these two messages prominently featured. Message number one is that simply of Hakaras HaTov. We ask the four questions, and the four questions highlight the contrast between Chayrus and Avdus. Look how bad it was, and look at the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu took it out. Look how bad it was, look how good it is now. How about any Yidin L'Farbim Mitzrayim? We're involved in backbreaking labor, so thank you HaKadosh Baruch Hu for taking us out, and bringing us out, giving us the Torah, bringing us to Eretz Yisrael. But whenever something bad happens to a person, and then he is saved, and he feels that initial HaKadosh HaTov, immediately a second question comes up, and that is, B'seder Gamor, HaKadosh Baruch Hu saved me. But who's the one who put me in that situation? True, HaKadosh Baruch Hu dragged me out of the pit, but who threw me into the pit? It was certainly HaKadosh Baruch Hu as well. Obviously, we run into a question right away when we are grateful to HaKadosh Baruch Hu about Tzadik Ra'alo. Granted, we came out, Hashem took us out, but we suffered. Our children were killed. So we're bothered. In the midst of the gratitude, we're bothered by this question. And that's exactly when the second theme, the second section of Mitzchila Obed Avodah Zarah HaYov HaSeinu comes in. And that is, the Shibud was necessary. It was an essential part of permission of Klal Yisrael. Our Avos were lonely. They were on a low spiritual level. They're Obed Avodah Zarah. They had to purify them and make them into Klal Yisrael. There had to be a Shibud. There had to be a Surin. There had to be a struggle. Physical and spiritual struggle. That's why the Psukim darshan out how bad it was, horrible it was, and then HaKadosh Baruch Hu took us out. The reason why it happened, it was for our own welfare. And that may very well be why the section of Magid begins with Yachak. We break the matzah in half, we take the smaller piece, and put the bigger piece away until Tzafun. To teach us exactly this Nakuda. When I break a matzah, we only have a half, we have a smaller half. Whenever we see something bad happening, we only see the smaller half. The other half that fits together with a smaller piece is left with Tzafun. Tzafun means it's hidden. Most of the truth is hidden from us. And that's exactly the central message of Magid. The bad things that happened, and then we were grateful that his brother took us out for, they were necessary, there was a purpose. And once we come out of Magid, we take the second half, and now we ingest the whole matzah, and we see the truth. And both the themes of both Hakar Satov, our gratitude to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the deep Havana, that everything happens to us for a particular purpose, for our own welfare, those two themes finally come together.
Next up we have Rabbi,
and of course, last. And it needs to know at the end if I have time for this.
Wait, till everyone gets ready.
This Zohar is very user-friendly because you can ask it at a few different points during the Seder. You could choose at which point you want to say it based on the attention span of the people at your Seder. So the Rav Nevitzel asked the question from the following point. In the song, in the song Dayenu, it says, Ilu hotzianu mitzrayim velo asa v'hem shvatim Dayenu. And then afterwards, two stanzas later, Ilu asa v'hem velo harag epichoreihem Dayenu. So Hashem already took us out of Mitzrayim, and only later in Dayenu do we mention that he killed the Bechorim. But that's not the way that we learned it in first grade. We always learned that first he killed the Bechorim in the middle of the night, and then we left Mitzrayim the next morning. So why do we first say, had you not taken us out of Egypt, that would have been enough, and later said, had you not killed the Bechorim? That's the wrong order, that it shouldn't be in that order. But Nevitzel doesn't really answer the question. I quoted him, I took out from his Agada, I put it underneath if you want to read through. If you look later in the Gada, on the left-hand column, we see during the Shvach and the Begif Tekar Shvachu from the Pesuk of Zimra on Shabbos, Lamaki Mitzrayim Bevchoreihem, Kili Olam Chasto, Vayotze Yisom Mitocham, Kili Olam Chasto. So here it's in the order that we always understood it to be. First you have Makas Bechoros, and then you have referring to Yitzias Mitzrayim. So what was the order that it happened in? You might choose to ask the question differently. If the people that are around you are very familiar with Pesukim, you could ask the following. You see in Shmos Yud Beis, it says, Vayhi b'chatziya layla, v'shem hika kol b'chor v'eretz Mitzrayim. So you see clearly, Makas b'choros happened in the middle of the night. On the left-hand column, you see B'midbar Parachas, says, Ki, in Pesuk Yud Zayin, Ki li kol b'chor v'bnei Yisrael, b'adam u'v'behema, b'yom hakosi kol b'chor v'eretz Mitzrayim. What do you mean you smote them during the day? I thought it said in Shmos that he smote them at night. So did Makas Bechoros happen at night? Or did Makas Bechoros happen during the day? I think the most interesting way to answer the question, to ask the question, is where Shlomo Zalman Orbach asked the question. But this, I would, if you decide to say it over in Shulchan Orech, I would say it over like this. In the stira between Marav Davening and Shacharis. In Marav we say, Hamake be'evraso kol Bechori Mitzrayim, Vayotei Ami Yisrael Mitochem Lecheres Olam. At first he smote the Bechorim, and then Vayotei Ami Yisrael Mitochem Lecheres Olam, then there was Yitzias Mitzrayim. If you look in Shacharis, it says it in the opposite order. It says, Mimitzrayim Ge'otano Hashem Elokeinu, Mibes Avadu Ptitenu, there was Yitzias Mitzrayim. Then it says, Kol Bechoreim Harakta, Uvechor Chaga'ata. And then came Makas Bechoros. There's a steer between Marav and Shacharis, which happened first. And Shlomo Zalman Orbach answered the question with the Akdamot HaMasechet Smachos. And the Akdamot HaMasechet Smachos is actually a brisa that says, V'hi b'chatzei ha'layla, hika kol b'chor b'eretz Yitzrayim. U'ksiv kili kol b'chor b'yom ha'kosi kol b'chor. So it's bringing the stirrup between the Pesukim. One says it happened over the night, one says it happened during the day. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, af al pi shehika otzam makas maves mechatzei ha'layla, even though Kadosh Baruch Hu smote them a plague of death, which would end up killing them in the middle of the night, they didn't die right away. Their soul was jumping up, I guess, inside of them, and what's the word?
Fluttering.
Inside of them until the morning, but they were clearly, it was clear to all who were watching, they were going to end up dying, but they weren't dead yet. Why did Hashem do it this way? So the Brisa continues and explains that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted that Bnei Israel should see the mitzvah that they were going to die. He wanted to see the plague that he was going to do for them, because it was like a present that Hashem did for Bnei Israel that he killed them, so he wanted Bnei Israel to see that. However, he wanted the mitzvah to see Bnei Israel leaving, all the mitzvah, even the Bechorim, and that's why he didn't want them dead yet. So he gave them a plague of death, because they were going to end up dying, so Bnei Israel saw they were going to die, but the mitzvah was still alive to see Bnei Israel leave Mitzrayim, and that answers up all the questions over here. Because if you look at Mariv, we say at nighttime, when the Makkah actually started, it just says Hamakkah Be'arvah, so he smote them. It doesn't say they died. Then it says Ve'yotzei et Am Yisrael Mitochem. Then Bnei Israel left in the morning after he smote them at night, but they didn't die yet. When you look in Shacharis, what was the order of events in the morning? When Mitzrayim Ge'atani, you took us out of Egypt, Kol V'Chorem Harasta, you killed all the Bechorim, because it's the next morning after you see a Mitzrayim happen already, as the Bechorim died. And if you look at all the other places, they all fit in very nicely to this answer. 37. Okay, there's a Rashi on the Haggadah. The Pasuk in the Haggadah says, "Va'avayti be'eretz Yisrael b'layla hazeh." Hashem passed in Mitzrayim b'layla hazeh. Rashi in Chumash says, "Va'avayti k'melech ha'over mimakom l'makom." So it's just like a king goes from place to place. It sounds like Hashem killed them house by house, not all at the same time. But Rashi finishes and it says, "Ubahavara achat uberaga achat kulam." Lokin. But all at once, at the same minute, everybody was plagued. So what do you mean? Was it one after the other? Was it everybody all at once? The Maharal Diskin answers that everybody was killed b'chatzot, like Hashem said, it would happen exactly at chatzot. But Hashem is so perfect with chatzot that it's exactly, chatzot is not the same a mile here and a mile later. So chatzot, when chatzot hit them, that's they were killed. All at the same minute, at the minute of chatzot, which was literally based.
Next up we have Rabbi M. Willis. What? You're next on the list.
Okay, so basically, the two focal ideas of Pesach are the Seder and no Chametz Yes Masa. Those are the two focal points. And obviously, the Chametz Masa issue is coming to enhance the whole Yetzias Mitzrayim issue, which the Seder is about, right? The Seder is talk about it, and the Chametz Matza, no Chametz Yes Matza, is the do it. What's the action that is like the most Yetzias Mitzrayim type of thing is no Chametz Yes Matza, and the occurrence that we're talking about and delving into is no Mitzrayim Yes out. So now the question is, there seems to be a correlation, right? That matzah represents getting out, and chametz represents being in Mitzrayim. Where am I coming from? It's the pasuk. The pasuk says, "Vayoichlu asavotek asher yotzil Mitzrayim." They ate the dough. Ugoit matzah with matzah. Ki loy chametz, because it wasn't chametz. Why ki gershu mi Mitzrayim? Because they left Mitzrayim. It's like almost like it's not just that they were quick, so they couldn't do chametz, and that's why we're just remembering this cute little thing that they baked it fast. It's like Mitzrayim represents Chometz, and Matzah represents getting out of Mitzrayim. So what is the symbolism here? Why is Mitzrayim like a nice piece of fluffy bread? That's Mitzrayim. Probably wasn't what we were eating every day there. Maybe we would have stayed there. And it sounds like the Matzah represents Chayr. So what's that all about? So the standard chat that everyone says is that we all know that mitzvah bol yotza altach mitzvah. What does chametz represent? Chametz represents not doing stuff good. You're being machmet. You're waiting too long. You don't have zrizus. And matz represents being really fast. And the idea of getting out of Mitzrayim is breaking out of like being slow and going to be very fast to serve Hashem. Mitzrayim is I'm doing what I want. I'm a slave. I can't handle the freedom of just doing what I have to do and rather someone else tell me what to do. And Matzah is like, cut that all out. I'm in charge of my schedule. I'm going to be fast. I'm going to do mitzvahs. Oh, Shema Tamech Shema. take 2 seconds off. So now, from Rabbi David. Now, So comes out that the simple shot is that matzah is just being fast to do mitzvahs, and chametz is just being slow and sluggish. But there's something missing over here. Why? Because we all know the famous Gemara. The Gemara says that we want to do your will. We ma'akev, and one of the things that's ma'akev, what's that? Sa'ar shebe isa. The sa'ar, the leaven, in the isa, the chametz, is getting in our way. One second. It's one thing to say that matzah means I'm doing a lot of mitzvahs. But to say that being lazy is what our favorites are all about, like the yesahar is represented by sa'ar shebe isa, like chametz is yesahar. No, I wouldn't say that. I would say, if I want to do a mitzvah, that's good. I don't do a mitzvah, I'm just not doing something good. But would I say that the representative, the symbol of evil is chametz? It just sounds like the symbol of not doing good is chametz. So again, right? We have chametz and matzah, and we just connected chametz to Mitzrayim. So matzah is not just, you know, Mitzrayim wasn't so great, now I'm really being good at Hashem. It sounds like chametz is connected to the bad, the evil of Mitzrayim. And we all know that everyone said it right till now, on Pesach night, you're experiencing your own existence, right? And there are two dimensions, physical and spiritual. Obviously, what are you experiencing? Spiritual, right? We're not anywhere near Mitzrayim now, right? So it's just spiritual. And right from the Haggadah, you tell the Russia, if you would have been in Mitzrayim, then what? You wouldn't have gotten out. Meaning that everyone tonight has a choice. Do you want to leave Mitzrayim or do you want to stay? 1 minute. Do you want to stay? So I want to say the following thing. How am I leaving Mitzrayim? Very simple. Another thing. If there's no paro here, right, so who's getting on my case? Right? There's no paro now. So what is the spiritual issue of Mitzrayim? A very simple answer. We all live in our environment. Hashem gives us this much time, this much resources. We have a certain amount of flower that's our life. If we let that flower expand and become chametz, then slowly the chametz starts to suck up all the room in our little lives that we have, and the flower, which is the main part, which is serving Hashem, which is the matzah, doesn't have room anymore in our lives. It's a mitzar. It's Mitzrayim. Mitzrayim means I'm stuck somewhere. How am I stuck? Because the chametz is getting so big, all the sa'ar shavis and the yitzharas are getting so big, they're pushing out what really is the stuff of life, that's Torah and mitzvah. And Matzah says, go on a diet. Don't let all the extra things in life take everything up. There's no room for the flower. Let the flower be all that you're doing, and that way you'll accomplish the most. That's getting out of your own personal existence of time. And that's what Matzah represents. Chametz is bad. Why? Because all of my left pushing away all the flour of all of us, and matzah is just the mitzvah staying thin and being able to fill up the entire mitzvah of our existence.
He's only been here a short amount of time, but he's risen the ranks of Yeshiva Torah Traga, and someone that we all turn to and look towards for guidance.
Hey, John
or Eric? Daniel Froh. Rabbi Yudin. Okay, in the spirit of the night, I'm going to ask 4 questions. Number one, we end off the Haggadah with Shir HaShir. It's not part of the Haggadah, but we know that the Minhag of Yisrael is after you finish the night, the entire story of the Shir HaShir, Shir HaShir, or as much as Shir HaShir as you get through until you fall asleep. Why? Number two, the Haggadah goes to great lengths to describe how many makos there were in the time. 10 makos, 50 makos, 200 makos.
Rashi and Shir HaShir says very clearly. Rashi says the whole Shir HaShir, not every other Rashi. It's a historical metaphor.
Good. Okay. So why so many makos though? Question number three. Haggadah says the famous question. Haggadah says that Hashem goes through Mitzrayim, and it says Vavatra is not an evil malach. He came to Chobachar an evil osar. It was me, not a malach, not an angel. No messengers. Every year at the state of my father, I asked the question, and everyone should ask the question, and who would have cared? Who would have cared if it would have been a malach or a shliach? We would have got out of Mitzrayim. My nafkamina. Whether it would have been Hashem himself or whether it would have been one of his emissaries. The final question, which is really the main thing I want to discuss, is out of all the parashiyos in the Torah discussed as the main source of the story of Tzitzis Mitzrayim, we pick a parasha all the way tucked away, parasha Kisavo, the parasha of Bikurim, Arami, Ovid, Ovid, of all places to turn to. I know there's a lot of Torah, so I know plenty of Rabbi and Torah. Good, I'm not good. but the question is, why do we turn there? What's my high? We should look to that parasha, Rabbi and Ovid, as the main source for Tzitzis Mitzrayim. I once heard a bar which they asked, but I said my favorite bar. This bar really hit me home. I like to share it with you. I heard it from Avraham Shore on a tape, and he said it so beautifully. Arami Ovid Ovid. Pashup Shah means that Lavan wanted to go ahead and destroy Yaakov. He wanted to wipe out Yaakov. But it doesn't only mean that. Aderach HaDrash, what it means is, Arami Ovid Ovid means that Lavan wanted to go ahead and disconnect our connection with Ovi, with Hashem. Arami Ovid Ovid means Lavan is a Rami, Lavan is a trickster. You do whatever you want. You trick everybody the way that you want to. Hashem doesn't really care what happens in your life. Hashem is not really concerned with what you do and how you act. Arami Ovid, he wanted to destroy, he wanted to wipe away the connection that we have with Avinu Shebashamayim. That, like my brother said, Lavan Zikesh Lakor Esakol. He wanted to wipe everything out. Because if you take away our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you have destroyed everything, cut everything down, Lakor Esakol. Three more questions. We asked. We're going to answer them now. Why is it so important that Hashem do it himself? Couldn't he send an angel? Of course he could have. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to show how much he loves us. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to show that he is our Father. And as our Father, of course you could send an angel. Your kid's in trouble. I gave a mashal on my shiur today. You haven't been in yeshiva for the entire year. You've been in yeshiva the entire year. You come home finally, your parents haven't seen you the entire year. They could send a cab to pick you up. But if they love you, and I hope I'm not getting in trouble now, if they really love you, then they're going to come themselves, if they can, they're going to come themselves to pick you up, because they love you, they don't want to send a shliach. Because we're up with two, he could send a shliach, but he loves us. Why so many makos? One makos would have been enough. Of course one makos would enough. It could have been left inside chick-chack. But the answer is, of course, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to show us that he cares. Mitzrayim messed around with us. He's messing around with my child. Don't mess with my child. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Kavyacho, I'm getting involved to help out my son. And finally, in addition to the Rashi and Shira Shirim, which Shira Shira mentioned before, which is true, it all emanates from Tzitzis Mitzrayim. But if one has to sum up in a nutshell, what is Shira Shirim? Why do we end up in that Shira Shirim? Well, we know that the Afikomu will keep our mouth if you want to have a taste of matzah or the taste of Afikomen in our mouth. In our mouth, we want to have a taste of Afikomen. But in our hearts and our minds, we want to have the taste of Shir HaShirim, which is the taste that HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves us. Shir HaShirim, Asher L'Shlomo, it's a love song between Klal Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's Asher. Stop the clock.
The Rashi is very good, because the entire Shir HaShirim is a metaphor for the Abba. And
the Abba is the mother of Hashem. Oh, Givali. So this is the idea of Shir HaShirim. I'm going to zip a mice here. I have to say mice very quickly, which I think illustrates the point. 30 seconds, I'm going to try very hard. Mice, stop the clock. Very, mama's quick. Very quick, I'll say the mice. All right, Kellerman from right to show. He had a son that was, stop the clock. I'm going to say it very quickly. But the mama's hammers the point home. He had a son that was very sick, like one of fun. And he had to go to Chutzlaret to help the child. And he was sitting, the son needed blood at a certain time. This is a different story. The son needed blood, and the father sat down on the table, and he was poked many times to get a lot of blood for his son to help his son out in this situation. They come back, the nurse comes out after a few minutes and says, I'm sorry, there was a mistake. We poked the wrong side. You got to do the whole thing again. So they sit him down again. They wait for the blood to replenish. They poke him again, here. Blood comes out. Finally, the nurse goes back in, comes back out and says, Rabbi, you're not going to believe this. But really, the first time was the right one, and we have to do it again because there was a problem the first time. Okay, and he waits for the blood to replenish. He pokes him again. They prick him. Finally, come out and they say, Rabbi, you're not going to believe this. Nothing was wrong with your blood at all entirely the entire time. What happened was there's no white blood cells in your blood at all, and 99% of people in the world that have that die, just can't survive at all. You tested your blood. Thank God, your blood is okay. You're able to. You're fine. But you yourself are fine. But you can't obviously give blood to your child in this need. So his brother had to give blood to his child at that time. And the entire time when his brother was giving blood to his child, he sat there just crying, wailing the entire time. He asked him, why am I crying so much? And he said the reason he was crying so much is because all he wanted to do was to give to his child. All he wanted to do was to give blood to his child, to love his child. And he couldn't give to his child. Now it's so painful for him that he couldn't give to his child. And that's what he did in China is to give HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to our father, Rami Ovid Avi. All Hashem wants to do is to love us, to show us he loves us. And that is the message of Jesus.
Rabbi, he's going to have to leave, so he's going right now.
Okay, the Rasha, the Ben HaRasha. So we'll split the Dvar Torah into two. The first is the question of the Rasha, and then the answer we give him. The question of the Rasha, Rasha, Mahu Omer, Maha Avoda Hazos Lachem. So, the famous question is, what's the difference between the Rasha and the Chacham? The Chacham seems to be excluding himself as well. What does the Chacham say? Maha Eidot, V'Hachukim, V'Hamishpatim, Asher Tziva Hashem Elokeinu, Eschem. It's your Eidot, and your Chukim, and your Mishpatim, not mine. And the Rasha is doing the same thing. He's saying, what's this work, Lachem, for you, Lachem Elolo. He's excluding himself. So why is he any different than the Chacham? So the Vilna Gaon says in his Perush on the Haggadah that the key is not necessarily in the Lachem versus the Eschem. The key is the words that the Chacham adds that the Rasha does not, namely, the Chacham throws in, Asher Tziva Hashem Elokeinu. He includes God in the whole thing. He's being mekabel molchus shamayim by including God. As opposed to the Rasha, says the Vilna Gaon, he says, Maha avoda hazot lachem, and he divorces God from the whole avoda, and nothing that he's saying is, it has to do with God. So that's why, that's the problem with the Rasha as opposed to the Chacham. Fine. Then, it continues, according to the Vilna Gaon, if Lefi, what's the problem? Lachem lo, he divorced himself. And according to Vilna Gaon, from God as well, because he didn't include Hashem. Ulefi shahoti et atzo min haklal, the way we have the girsa, kafar v'ikar. Because he's excluding himself, he's kafar v'ikar. We said the Chacham also excludes himself. What's the main difference, according to Vilna Gaon? That he left out Hashem. Therefore, the Vilna Gaon has the girsa that it's two problems. Number one, he's Moti Es Asman Al Klal. He says, Lachem, just like the Chacham also excluded himself. But number two, and this is the main problem, Vih, says the Vilna Gaon, in his Girsa, in, this is his Haggadah, in the Girsa, Vih Kafar V'Ikar. First of all, he's excluding himself, and second of all, he's completely denying God's existence. He's being Kofar V'Ikar because he left out Shem Hashem, and he doesn't include God in this entire Avodah of Pesach.
But there's another Girsa,
right, so that's the Rambam's gear. So the Rambam has the gear with Azva, that's gear in Argada. But according to the Vilna Gaon, that's the pshat here, and that fits with his gear. Then that's in terms of the question of the Rasha. In terms of the answer of the Rasha, so we give an answer of Afata Hakeh, Shino Vinakis, Tidav, Emelah, Babur, Zahsa, Hashem, Levi, Tatum, Mitzrayim, Levi, Lo, Ilo, Hayasham, Lo, Hayanigo. So as we know, that the answer that the Haggadah gives is not the answer that's given in the Chumash. Right, the Chumash says a much softer answer. The Chumash says, "Va'amartem." When the Rasha asks this question, what's the response? "Va'amartem zevach pesachu laHashem asher pasach abatev nei yitzrov b'mitzrayim b'nokbes mitzrayim." That's in Shemos Perek Yud Beis Pasuk Chavav. We simply respond to the Rasha that there's an idea of carbon pesach because God passed over all the houses. So why in the Haggadah are we so rough on him? In the Chumash itself, we just answer that there's carbon pesach. So the Vilna Gaon explains that in fact the Baal Haggadah in fact took his cue from the Pesukim themselves. He was midaktik yafe in the Pesukim Shemos in order to get his answer here in the Haggadah. What was the diuk of the Baal Haggadah in the Pesukim in Shemos? So the Vilna Gaon says like this: if you look at all the Pesukim of the Chacham and the Tam Nesheni Odelishol, it says Vihigadita by the Sheni Odelishol Levincha. Respond to your son. And by the Tam it says, Vamarta a love. And by the Chacham it says, Vamarta Livanecha. Each time it says you respond to the child himself. When it comes to the Pesukim by the Rasha, what does it say? Ve'amartem. Just say it. It doesn't say to him. It just says say it. So the Vilna Gaon explains the following. You see from the Pesukim that the response is not directly to the Rasha. By the, all the other sons, the response is directly to the son who's asking. When it comes to the Rasha, it's just a response, but not directly to the Rasha. In other words, we don't answer the Rasha directly. We turn to everybody else in the Seder, and we tell them, Zevach Pesach LaHashem. So the Baal Haggadah takes the cue from the Pasuk according to the Vilna Gaon. And the Baal Haggadah says, Bavur Zeh, Hakesh, Shinov, this is the way we blunt his teeth. Babur Zach Hashem Li Tesram Li Vilo Lo. Really it should say, if you're talking to the Rasha, what should it say? It should say Li Vilo Lacha. The Hakesh Baruch Hu took me out and he didn't take you out. And it should say, Ilu Hayisa Sham, if you were there, you wouldn't have been redeemed. It says Ilu Hayah Sham, if he was there, he would never have been redeemed. We're not talking to the Rasha. Why don't we talk to the Rasha? Because the Rasha is not really asking a question. He's just making an excuse why he doesn't want to be part of this. As is meduk from the Pesukim themselves, by all the other sons, it says, Yish Alcha, he'll ask. Vayakish Alcha. And by the Rasha, what does it say in the public? Vayaki Yomer. He's not asking a question, it's an excuse. It's meduk like this in the Rambam. I heard this in the name of the Rav, that the Rambam says in Hilchos Chametz Tumas, Perek Zayin, Halacha Beis, Mitzvah Lo Di Abanim. And the Rambam talks about each child. He talks about Shein Adrisho, the Tam and the Chacham. And it's meduk the Rambam Zayin, Perek Beis. He leaves out the Rasha. Why does he leave out the Rasha? Because we're not, even though in this Chagot he has it. Because he says that the Rambam himself is this same deal as the Vilna Gaon. That now I have one mice that I'm continuing. I'm going to take the liberty. The mice is as follows. Okay, that's it. The mice is like this. The mice is the Reb Chaim Soloveitchik in Volozhin. So Reb Chaim, the basic work goes, he was in Volozhin very tumultuous times in Klal Yisrael, communism, socialism, Zionism, Haskalah. People were going off away from Yiddishkeit. A Talmud left the fold of Yiddishkeit from Volozhin. Reb Chaim sees him years later. He sees him years later in a city, and he comes up to the Talmud Gadol. He says, Rebbe, I have a lot of questions on Amunah, I have a lot of questions on Bitachon. I want to sit with you and discuss all the questions. Reb Chaim looks him in the eye and says, Talmud, do the questions that you have begin before you were started being Mechal Shabbos or after you started being Mechal Shabbos? And he said, I'll tell you the truth, Rebbe, all my questions that have begun after I was Mechal Shabbos. Reb Chaim says to him, if that's the case, then we have nothing to discuss, because your questions aren't really questions. After you threw all the Yiddishkeit away, and now you have all these quote-unquote questions in Amunah, those aren't questions, those are excuses. Judaism encourages questions, Judaism encourages inquisitiveness, but like we see with Ben HaRasha, when a person is just making excuses and rationalizations, justifications, we don't respond to him. We talk to everybody else, we don't respond to him, because he's not really asking a question, he's just making an excuse. Yes, Shkar.
In time, you can stop me whenever you want. I've got a very interesting thing. I make an issue every couple of years to get the updated art scroll version with the pictures of the four sons. Usually, you know, the chacham, you have the guy with the payas 1 year, then the kippah srugah the next year, the sheni.
That's what I wrote about the Russian. What does the doctor say?
The sheni is, yeah, listen. The tam is usually someone without a face. Sheni is the alishal, is always a seminary girl. But it's always. It's really, really nice. There are a lot of concepts, they're all very connected. Maskel, the nook, the zayin, the shvach, the for this, for that. And then you get to the end, to echad miyodea. And that has absolutely nothing to do with Pesach. It's a song that we can sing anytime we want, or not sing at all. It talks about all the treasures that we have. So that's not a very nice mashal idea that there's a rich guy who has a treasure house. But generally, you know, you keep it to yourself, usually locked away, no one knows about it. So you get the guy after a couple of drinks, and you know, Nicholas down, you have to sell it, and he starts to come out just to tell about what he has. Same is true after we've drunk 4 cups of wine, right? Since in Torah Shabbat we have no drinking policy anyway, so I'm firm we're very careful. Comes Pesach, which is Vanna's mommy, you have 4 cups. All of a sudden, we start remembering all the Torah that you really do have, right? We have one father, we have 2 luchos, we have the Tzeres Dibros, we have Shabbat, all these wonderful matanas we have, only after we're able to, you know, move up in those levels to recognize exactly what we had. On the concept of four already, so everybody's asking 4 questions, they'll ask some of the same questions and give very different answers, one answer to answer all 4 questions to be precise. Let me catch my breath. Okay, first question is, why 10 makos? If Hashem wanted to punish Paro, so Paro already had enough after 5. Right, and we know Hashem made his heart harder. So why continue? Elamai, Hashem wants to really, you know, make a nice good fool out of Mitzrayim. Hashem could have come up with many more creative ways to make a fool out of them. Why stop at 10? Next question. First 9 makos, we had to do nothing for them automatically not to affect us. The Jew was able to drink from the same cup as the Mitzri. He drank water, Mitzri drank blood. No problems of frogs out of our heights, out of our houses. The lice only came to Israel many years later. At that point, it didn't affect the Jews at all. For those of you who have kids, you know exactly what I'm talking about. So then we come to the 10th Makkah, though, and all of a sudden, right, we have to start taking the lamb, putting the blood on the doorpost. It's mashma that had we not taken this action, we would have been affected by the 10th Makkah as well as Makkah Tzachoros, and the question is why. Question number 3. What role did the Karban Pesach play in the whole evening of Yetzias Mitzrayim? There are many significant things that happened, right? How does that fit into the whole picture? And question number 4, there's not a single mitzvah in the whole Torah which is called Avodah. Alright? We have Avodah Shebalev, Avodah Shebamikdash, Avodah Hashem. There's only one, and that's Karban Pesach. As was mentioned earlier, Maha Avodah Hazos Lachem. Why is the Karban Pesach the only mitzvah which is singled out to be called Avodah? So they answer them all up with one concept. The Maral says many times that a Jew is on a higher level than a Malach. Why? Because although a Malach starts on a very high spiritual level, he's stuck, he's an omid. He can't grow, he can't fall either. There are benefits to both sides. However, a person, human being, has the ability in this world to move forward, to grow, to constantly do mitzvot, and because we have that ability to reach those heights, we have the opportunity to reach even higher levels than a Malach. We can also lose it. Memela, by the time Smacha, Hashem says, as was pointed out, Ani, right? It was Hashem who did it, it wasn't a Shaliach, it wasn't a Sraf, it wasn't a messenger. Mashmat, the first nine were. So if we can imagine a 10-story building where we're on the 10th floor and the Malachim are on the 9th, anything they throw down automatically is not going to affect us whatsoever. Come to the 10th Malach, which is being done by Kadosh Baruch Hu, who's way above everybody, it's going to hit us. Malachim Bechoros is going to affect us. Unless what? Unless we could find a way to become part of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. How does a person become part of somebody else? So we know Mashakon Eved and Rabo, the Yad of an Eved is the Yad of Rabo, Yad of Arista, right? You become someone's slave. How do you become a person's slave? By doing a maisa, by doing an action for them. The action that we did to become part of a Kaddish Baruch Hu, to become Abdei Hashem, was the Karban Pesach. Alright? Now, if I asked you, what's the difference between the first cup of tea that a slave brings his master to the 100th cup of tea? The answer is the first one, because I brought it, now I'm a slave.
1 minute.
The 100th, it's because I'm a slave, that's why I'm bringing it. The Mela, all the mitzvahs are called Avodah Hashem. Because we're Avdei Hashem, we do the mitzvahs. But what was that one mitzvah that brought us to become Avdei Hashem? That was the Karban Pesach, and that's why it's called Avodah. The Mela, the Pshat has nothing to do with 10 Malkos. It could have been 20, it could have been 100. It made no difference. The Pshat is we just became Avdei Hashem. We just turned into Klal Yisrael. The Mela, we can't stay in Mitzrayim a second longer. That's why it says, B'shash HaPasach Kadosh Baruch, he said, Avadahim la'avdei la'avadim. Unlike the Ramban, who seems to imply, I think this is correct, that had someone else taken us out, we would have served them. Hashem took us out, we serve Hashem. According to Maral, it's beautiful. Because we became Avdei Hashem, Memela Hashem had to take us out. Up until that point, we were just a random group of people. And I think that's the message, really, Am Yisrael is to realize the rebirth of the Jewish nation, of the people, to appreciate what we have, to remember our storehouse when we get to at the end, after the whole Seder and all the different Torah that you've heard so beautifully. Thank you.
The question that we're all bothered by is how can we celebrate Yetzias Mitzrayim? We're still Shivan Malchus. We're not free people. We're still slaves to other nations, to other ideas, to other concepts. What is the concept of celebrating Yetzias Mitzrayim as a Leil Seder when we're not there yet? Four questions. Why the juxtaposition of the Manishtana right after Halach Manya? Right after Halach Manya, all of a sudden we ask four questions. Why? Question number two. The Rishon explained that a person is supposed to say Manishtana, even if it's by himself, even if there's no one else to ask him the questions, he's supposed to recite the questions. The structure of the Leil HaSeder, as was mentioned earlier, has to be in a question-answer form. Why? Question number three. Why do we ask Manishtana specifically about these four things? There are many things we do in this night that are different than other nights. Why are these four things that we focus on when we ask the Manishtana? Finally, how does the paragraph of Avadim Hayinu answer the question of Manishtana? Where is the answer, exactly, to all the questions of Manishtana? So the truth is, it was mentioned earlier, the Abarbanel explains, the whole Manishtana is really asking one question. Four different ways of asking the same question, and that is, tonight is a big contradiction. What are we exactly doing? Are we commemorating the slavery, the enslavement? Are we celebrating the Geula? What is it? And it's we're doing things that are simply contradicting each other. On the one hand, we're dipping and we're reclining like malachim. The other hand, we're eating bitter herbs and lechem oni. So what is tonight? What is it? What are we doing exactly? Perhaps the best expression of this dichotomy is the matzah itself. The matzah itself, we say in Halach Manya, "Di'achalu avasana ve'arid Mitzrayim." This is the lechem oni. This is the lechem that our forefathers ate in Mitzrayim. When did we eat in Mitzrayim? We ate when we left Mitzrayim. When did we eat in Mitzrayim? So the Sforn and the Shlal, they both explain that the truth is matzah was eaten both in Mitzrayim and when we left Mitzrayim. In Mitzrayim, this was the bread that the slaves ate. They didn't give them The Mitzrim didn't give the Jewish people time to let their bread leaven. They have to go out to work, so they have to eat matzah. And then ironically, when they leave, their first taste of freedom is what? The same bread that they ate, the same matzah they ate as slaves. Why? Why did they have to eat, being reminded of their enslavement when they're finally free? It's a very beautiful idea that Zibn Magid says in the Sefer Midos. Kemo shelo te'arev ha'achila b'lo re'evon, kemo te'arev ha'tshuva b'lo ha'flagat ha'sheila. Just like a person won't appreciate food if there wasn't hunger beforehand, so too you can't appreciate an answer without expressing the question before that. When we're hungry, right, we have the pains of hunger, then we can appreciate the food that much better. A thoughtful question creates a void. Any good speaker will begin with a question. And then all of a sudden there's an interest. Oh, I got to get an answer to this. That's the idea of the questions and answer form of the entire night. The idea is we want to express the same type. The structure actually is reflective of the content of what the message is trying to give away. And that is that when there's galus, that's the hunger, that's the re'evon, when we inflict pain, then we can appreciate the redemption that much more. The whole night, in essence, is really a commemoration of both ideas, both the galus and the gula. Because without the galus, we wouldn't appreciate the gula at all. It's really one long process. It's not a stira. It's really one process of Yetzias Mitzrayim, which contains the shibud and the yetziah. Now we can answer all of our questions. Number one, Manishtana immediately follows Halach Manya, because that's when we see the dichotomy, the contradiction of what exactly is it shibud or is it gula? Number two, by conducting the Seder question answer forms, we said the structure parallels the message. The message being that both are part of the same process. Number three, although there are many changes, these four things that we ask on, these are the things that represent the contradiction of Shiva and Gula. And finally, we are slaves of Paro. And so HaKadosh Baruch Hu took us out with an outstretched arm. That is the answer. That's the answer. We were slaves and HaKadosh Baruch Hu took us out. It's all one long process. And now we understand how we can celebrate, even today, because we realize we're all part, this is, even though we're not yet there, that it's part of a long outstretched geula that's taking place now, eventually being completed when we eat the Karban Pesach from Heri Aminu. Amen.